is the music of one Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC faculty member, University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player, sports businesswoman extraordinaire, and of course, host of If You Only Knew, that you can hear right here on 97.9 The Hill. She joins me each Friday to talk about the latest stories in sports. Deb, happy Friday. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be it's always great to be in Chapel Hill, but certainly during the springtime, it's one of the most beautiful times of the year. And everyone is recovering from college basketball and having to look to Raleigh during March Madness to keep the ACC going. And I know there are some Tar Heels that just can't cheer for anything that is not Carolina blue. But I'm ready to move on. There's some other great sports and things happening. So it's good. It's good to be a Tar Heel.
Yeah, we wanted to try and close the book on the college basketball season with this conversation. You mentioned NC State, a pretty incredible run on the men's side, and the women's team largely being underrated, I think, this year compared to where NC State programs normally are, also making it to the Final Four. Just two incredible stories and part of a larger group of Final Fours that had some pretty awesome stories, especially on the women's side with South Carolina being undefeated, Caitlin Clark in Iowa, of course, Caitlin Clark's huge star power in her senior year, a pretty fantastic game against UConn in order to then face up against South Carolina in that national title game, South Carolina coming out on top 87-75 to complete their 39-0 season. I mean, I just mentioned, that's just kind of a recap, Deb, but there are so many stories kind of mixed into that. Let's just start with that game and the numbers that game did. That's the most watched college basketball game in years and broke records on the women's side as well. Just what are your emotions around all of the excitement and other emotions around women's basketball and the end to this college women's basketball season, Deb?
Well, they are definitely mixed, and being one of the pioneers of the game way back when, and I started playing college basketball fall of 1978. So there are many more who went before me who made a difference in the game and the evolution. So I am on a high considering, I think it's targeted, I think the number is about 19 million that actually watched the women's championship and about 15 million for men. I do believe part of that was due to the men playing on a West Coast time in Phoenix, but I don't doubt that still the women could have had better viewership, even if the men's game were on an East Coast time frame. It was that engaging. I'm excited in the sense of being a Black female and looking at how Dawn Staley, undefeated team, third title, and she has truly, as coach from Iowa stated, Bluder stated, that Dawn is now the face of college women's basketball, being passed from, you know, Pat Summitt and Muffet McGraw and Gino, and I have to give hats off to Vivian Stringer, who actually was the start of great women's basketball at Iowa and, you know, closed out her career at Rutgers, an amazing African-American leader. But here we are. This is Dawn's time. And it's, again, another, I won't even say young because Dawn's over the age of 50, but still a younger face. Bummed that Tara Vanderveer has retired from Stanford. After 38 years, I was really looking forward to seeing her on the sidelines as an ACC coach. So there's just a lot. I'm just filled considering the way women's basketball has evolved.
Yeah, along the lines of those mixed emotions, I know that a lot of folks were trying to contextualize Caitlin Clark's year where she broke so many scoring records and making sure that, okay, let's talk about history before the NCAA as well. I thought that coverage around this year's season, I think largely because of the interest in Caitlin Clark and her star power and her game just kind of aligning at this time when there is more coverage of the women's sport, was just so fantastic. They all of the ESPN analysts, and again, I think it helps too that the tournament was on ESPN compared to CBS or other networks.
Yes.
The coverage was just fantastic, so layered. Had lots of different context, not just historically, but also context of the season. Great breaking downs of the games and Clark and how she matched up and everything that South Carolina does well. And I just hope, Deb, that this carries over, you know, that investment in the coverage, people's investment in their attention continues, whether it's, of course, following Caitlin Clark now to the WNBA, where she's expected to be the number one overall pick to the Indiana Fever, or sticking around and continuing to follow the stars that are at South Carolina, continuing to follow the other stars that people saw emerge during not just the NCAA tournament, but this women's college basketball season.
There is no doubt that this was a case study for journalism majors, in particular sports journalism majors, in the sense that when you cover, there are eyeballs, there are people that will pay attention, that will read your work, that will listen to your podcast. This was a great example. You have to invest in futures. That's one of the taglines we use oftentimes for young people, but we need to invest in new enterprises, new innovations. And again, women's basketball is old as the game, you know, with James Naismith. But to see traditional media outlets now paying attention, some say it's due to Dawn Staley in South Carolina, which I believe is the reality. This started years before Caitlin Clark. But then to add a scoring competition in the sense, will Caitlin Clark beat all of these various shooting records? So then it became like a compelling story to follow throughout the season. And then to think that she could end up being in the national championship, and then it played out that way, the timing was excellent. I think there is still a lot of criticism and disappointment valid for some media outlets not really being knowledgeable about the history of women's basketball, not giving more acknowledgement to those players who've gone before, who many would argue are much better than Caitlin Clark, as in there are other worthy goats who played the entire game, in the sense that they were great defensive players, like a Michael Jordan. They were great defensive players and great offensive players. And I don't think anybody would argue that Caitlin Clark is a great defensive player. She's done just about everything else, but her excellence is not on the defensive end. I'm looking forward to the translation. We know that games for the WNBA have been moved to bigger arenas. We know that WNBA has released their media schedule, and there's many more games now for the Indiana Fever. We know that she's going to be paired possibly with Aaliyah Boston, a rival from South Carolina, who is a star post player for Indiana. So, you know, you can run that triangle. You can run plays such that, you know, Aaliyah Boston had a great rookie year, to pass the ball out to Caitlin Clark for an easy bucket. I'm excited. I think it's another compelling story at the next level.
Yeah, and you just hope that what investment may come from all of this college women's basketball attention and clear interest, you hope that that does translate to the WNBA as well, which also needs investment. And as we've talked about in this segment so many times, Deb, has plenty of attention and growth is coming. And just all of these great players getting to that league can only do good things for it. And you talked about investing in futures too. So excited that college basketball still has years ahead of Juju Watkins and Hannah Hidalgo. And we've got likely maybe one more year of Paige Beckers at UConn. There's going to be so many fun stories to still follow next year, and you just hope that that investment does stick around. And also, you know, we talked about it when South Carolina beat UNC in the tournament. Just they were just so impressive this year, and you know, a lot of programs are investing in women's college basketball a lot more now. We're starting to see a little bit more parity, but South Carolina was just a cut above this year. They have so much depth and will return so many players. You just can't help but think, you know, talking about Dawn Staley as the new face, it's because there's no clear path to finding a way to beat them or usurp them when it comes to just that gathering of talent, coaching, and execution.
No doubt. And, you know, being a part of the UNC women's basketball family and talking to fans, talking to donors, speaking to former players, now expectations, everybody says, you know, UNC cannot be behind South Carolina in women's basketball. Now, again, Dawn has reached the, she's at the top. How do you get close to the top? Because right now, UNC women's basketball is not competing at the top of the ACC, let alone national. But people want more from women's basketball. You know, I've heard everything, you know, why isn't UNC, Bubba Cunningham, investing more dollars in women's basketball? You know, there's the talk now of having another arena. Many people are saying the intimacy of Carmichael and selling it out, that's where women's basketball should stay. But I know on the academic side, people would love that prime property, you know, where Carmichael is located to put up some type of academic building. So there's a lot of buzz around UNC women's basketball right now because of what South Carolina is doing.
Yeah, it is kind of a rising tide floats all boats situation for schools that can try and contend. Courtney Banghart, obviously the Tar Heels had a bit of a tough year. She should be bringing in another great recruiting class and potentially seeing some stars stay. I'm curious, we got news this week that Deja Kelly entering the transfer portal is leaving an option open to coming to Carolina, but having watched her and from being, you know, around the program in certain ways over the last few years, Deb, does that come as a surprise to you? What's your read on that situation with Deja Kelly?
Not a surprise at all. Today's game has changed. Young people want to show and demonstrate that they can play at the next level. And Coach Banghart has given Deja Kelly all that and then some. She played a lot of minutes, some would argue too many minutes, at the expense of some other things, some other options. But the point is, the only reason why players come back is that they want to continue to develop their game. What else can Deja Kelly do? She's the leader of UNC women's basketball. One of the best players in the ACC. What else can she do? It's time to go get paid. It's time to see if, and I'm not necessarily saying the WNBA. You can make a lot of good money playing in other leagues in other countries. So you run the risk of having a major injury. You run the risk of being frustrated. You run the risk of holding back other players in your program who would need this year that Deja Kelly would take. So I'd be very surprised if she came back. I know she wants to be a professional athlete and to get paid for her talents. The time to go is now. And this isn't something that was an easy decision for me to come to, but just understanding the economics of what's happening now and the athletic window is so short. You know what, NFL football, it's about 3 years. NBA, it's about 4 to 5 years. So you have to take that window. If indeed you want to get paid for your skills, she's going to have a bright career in whatever field she decides to go into after basketball. But to me, I just don't see how she could develop much more by coming back to UNC next year. She'd make us happy to see her play, but I think she should go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with her, what other players. Of course, this being transfer portal season at this point, you never know really who's coming in. You never really know who's leaving until everything is kind of said and done. The dust is settled and suddenly you're in the summer looking really down the barrel of this upcoming season. As we enter the final minutes here, Deb, any final thoughts on this college basketball season as a whole, either for the entire sport or in regards to UNC?
I was disappointed to hear that Seth Trimble's leaving. And I'm sure there are a lot
too.
Of Tar Heel fans who felt the same. I mean, such potential, such athleticism, a wonderful young man. I think Hubert Davis and the coaching staff penciled him in, or I won't even say that, put it in a Sharpie that he would be on the roster next year, possibly starting or having a great sixth man role. That one hurts. But again, young people want to demonstrate their skills and they need 25 to 28 minutes to do such. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen at UNC this year. So that bums me out. I'm looking forward to another great year for the men. I'd be really disappointed if Connecticut did it three times. Dan Hurley is an outstanding coach, but he reminded me too much of Bobby Hurley whining and crying and moaning. I just wish he would coach the game, which he did. He won the title. But I really want an ACC team to get the title next year on the men's side. Well, women's too.
Yeah, yeah. ACC should be competitive once again. And we still have a long way to go. Who knows what these teams will look like in a little bit, but it has certainly been a fun season watching the games, covering the games, and talking hoops with you, Deb Stroman. Always appreciate your insight, and thanks again for joining us today here on Stroman on Sports.
Thank you. Go Heels.